Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is an exciting episode for lots of reasons. First, this is only our second ever episode of the Progress Paddock, so we're super excited. And second, we have an amazing and inspirational guest. Jenny Fletcher is the Girls on Track UK Program Manager at Motorsport UK. Quite the mouthful, but very impressive. She leads efforts to inspire and support young women pursuing careers in motorsport. We are so excited to learn more about the program and just talk about you and the future of women in motorsport and everything to do with that. So I think, Jenny, to set the stage, why don't you just tell us briefly, in your own words, what Girls on Track does and where your role comes in?
Perfect. Well, first of all, thank you ever so much for inviting me to join your podcast. I'm really, really excited to be here. I'm incredibly passionate about what I do, so it's really great to have a platform to talk about it. So a very generic overview of what Girls on Track is a program to try and, as you said, increase female participation across the board in motorsport, whether that's young girls starting out for the first time karting, or whether that's girls coming towards the end of their education and thinking about early careers and wanting to make that change and that progression into motorsport. So my background is slightly unique in that I didn't come from a motorsport background. In fact, when I was growing up, my sister loved horse riding. I loved dancing. My mum sort of car was to get us from A to B to school to the shop. She was not a massive fan of cars in any way, shape or form. And then my stepdad came into our lives. He brought motorsport with him. He'd been a lifelong Formula One fan from an engineering background. And slowly, I wasn't sure to start with when he said, "Do you want to come watch a Grand Prix, Jenny?" I was like, "No, not really. That doesn't really float my boat." But as I grew to understand a little bit more about it, we went to watch some live events. And then very quickly, I got the buzz. So work background, I was a primary school teacher. I've always had a passion for helping others, inspiring others. And particularly for me, the highlights were 9 to 3 working with the children, but yes, particularly those wow moments, those days where you can inspire and just see those light bulbs pinging off all around the classroom. And I loved it. I did a decade working with 5 to 7 year olds. So obviously primary, we cover lots of different subjects. And I was super lucky. I had a really supportive head teacher who allowed the creativity in the classroom. So I designed topics on lots of different themes, whether it was chocolate or seaside or pirates or whatever it was. But one particular passion for me was the need for speed. So as you can probably imagine from the title, it was integrating all the different subjects into motorsport. So geography, where in the world do they race? History, what's the history of automobile and motorsport? And really trying to bring it to life to these children. And they were quite young, so we had we called it like a role play area in the corner of the classroom, which was always themed to whatever the topic was. So I'd set it up as a garage, and they had like a little pit stop area, and I'd all sort of say to the children, they came in on the first day of a new term, "Oh, what's the topic going to be, Ms. Cherniak?" That's my former name. I said, "Well, this term is going to be the need for speed." "Okay, what does that mean?" "Well, we're going to learn all about cars. We're going to learn all about the history of cars." And very, very instantly, I could see the girls absolutely switch off. "Oh, we don't want to."
"Oh, that's so interesting.
Why do we want to learn about that?" And I said, it was this one girl, particular Libby, who was always so enthusiastic about learning. I said, "Look," I said, "absolutely fine. You're saying this to me right now. If you're still saying this to me by the end of the topic, I've not done my job very well. Okay, so be open-minded. Let's see, let's learn and see. You never know, you might really like it." So the topic went on very quickly. She became engaged, as did the rest of the girls. And I won't bore you with this story for too long, but one of the things that I really liked to have out was lots of non-fiction books, which have a linked into our topic. And there was one called Supercars for Boys. And she came over to me and she said, "Miss Cherniak, why does it just say Supercars for Boys? Can I make it say Supercars for Girls and Boys?"
Yes. Like,
absolutely. Go
yes,
for it.
Yes, Libby.
And it's those kind of moments when you knew that you'd made that change and you'd sort of smashed those stereotypes and preconceptions that these girls had.
That's amazing.
So that was sort of where I came from in terms of my background. And then I needed a change. I wanted a change. I had itchy feet. I wanted to do something different. But on paper, I was a teacher. You know, I'd done my training and I'd done my 10 years in the classroom. So actually to be looked at in any other way was quite a challenge. Mm-hmm. So I saw a Sky Sports News article, which Susie Wolf was retiring from racing, end of 2015. But she said she didn't want to hang up her helmet. She didn't want to finish there. She wanted to give something back. She wanted to inspire girls. She wanted to showcase the breadth of the sport, what an amazing industry it is, and to provide those positive female role models. So I showed my stepdad. I said, look at this, Graham. I said, this is awesome. How amazing would it be to do something like this? So I thought, oh, no connections. I don't know anything about motorsport other than just enjoying watching it. So I went to susiewolf.com, the most generic info app email address you could imagine. I just thought, oh, why am I doing this? This is going to be a complete waste of time. Complete waste of time. But anyway, I thought, let's go for it. So I emailed and I just said, look, this is who I am. If you need any help volunteering or understanding schools, children, whatever, I'm here. Let me know. And I sent some pictures of this need for speed topic. Amazingly heard back a couple of days later from Claudia, who was helping Susie set up the charity, saying, thank you so much. Really great to hear from you. We're in the very early stages of the program, but let's keep in touch. So then I saw she was launching the program at the Auto Sport Show 2016. Dropped Claudia a quick email. She said, yeah, come along, come, you know, meet Susie. So we did. And we just happened to be at the stand at the right time that she was. So I sat down with her. We must have been talking for about half an hour. Showed her my iPad with photos of.
This is such an incredible story.
And she said, look, she said, being completely honest, I know what I want from the program. I know the outcome, but I need someone to manage it for the UK.
Wow.
So I sort of sat there like, you know, just take this in, digest this moment. And of course, yes, of course, that's what I want. Yeah, great, lovely. You know, it'd be great to hear from you. So I sort of walked away thinking, okay, perhaps she got a bit carried away. You know, you have conversations with people yeah. get at the moment. And then surely enough, the next day I had a phone call from Claudia saying, Susie wants to meet you tonight to discuss the opportunity. So I was like, wow, okay. So
it's real.
Monday was always staff meeting day after school. And I said to my head teacher, I'm really sorry, I'm not going to be at staff meeting tonight. I've got to potentially go and talk about another job. So he's like, okay. This has come really out of the blue, but you know, whatever, if that's what you want to do, of course, go for it. So I met with Susie. She was super lovely. And she said, look, I really want to try this. Let's see if it works. You know, you're leaving a government funded stable job for effectively a startup charity. So give it 6 weeks. We'll get you started. See how you go whilst also teaching. And I did it.
Oh, you did them both at the same time?
At the same time. So I had to give a term notice in. To stop teaching. Right. So got to February, we both agreed, yes, this was what we wanted. So I gave my notice in, worked my last month teaching, whilst also setting up the first event, which was the first week after the Easter holidays, calling in my lunch breaks.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, that was a lot of rambling, I do appreciate, but it was the single best thing that I think I've
wow.
done sort of in a very, very long time. And I'll never look back.
And that's the power of just putting yourself out there, even if you feel like you're viewed in a certain box or you were the teacher. Like, how do you step outside of that? But I bet that experience in education, especially with young girls who can be tough customers. So that learning, how did that experience kind of influence your approach to this work you do now, and how did it benefit you, do you feel?
It was really interesting because obviously my friends and family were immensely supportive, yeah. but were also a little bit, not concerned is probably not the right word, but they wanted to know that it was actually going to be the right decision for
like
me.
Like skeptical, yeah.
Exactly, because it was a startup charity, as Susie said, but I always knew that I had teaching to fall back on should I require it. You know, I'm never not going to be a teacher, and I will for the right. next, well, you know, until my last breath, I will be a qualified teacher. But actually the transferable skills that moved across to this job role are so aligned with teaching. Yeah. You know, you have to be organized. You have to be able to communicate with people, whether that's parents, other teachers, children of all ages. You have to know how to deal with confrontation. You have to understand that, you know, if you email a school at 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, you are not going to get a response until at least the end of probably Monday or Tuesday, because schools go home at, you know, 3:15. There's other priorities. So I think there was a lot that I transferred across, which helped me enormously. I mean, there was a whole world of stuff I didn't know. Like, I've never used Outlook before. I'm suddenly stuck with an Outlook account. I don't know how to write an email, how to receive an email. So I was a Gmail and a Hotmail girl. So yes. huge learning curve, but it was, brilliant all the same.
That's so incredible to hear. And so when you started with you know, you were telling the story with Susie and Claudia, and so it transitioned, and that's when it started being Dare to Be Different, and then it transitioned into the FIA Girls on Track program. How did you make that transition, and how, or was working with the FIA important to establish such a successful, like, well-known program? Any challenges that you faced? What was that all like?
I think it was incredibly important in terms of that association with, I mean, the world governing body, right, of motorsport. It's a real credibility. But the way that it came about, and I'll never probably know like the ins and outs of it, but from my perspective, the way it came around and the reason we transitioned was because the FIA had started their own Girls on Track program. And it was, I think it was around 2017, 2018. So we were a couple of years into Dare to Be Different. And the focus of that Girls on Track program was purely on karting. So they did 7 rounds in 7 different European countries, and girls, I think it was 13 to 18, would turn up to a space. They'd have a slalom of cones. They would compete on the karting, and they would try and get the top fastest times. So the fastest times from each of the rounds would then go to a head-to-head in Le Mans, compete. And I believe the fastest girl got some kind of scholarship towards karting. So incredible opportunity. During that time, the FIA brought their Girls on Track program to the UK. So I was then in charge of creating and managing that event. And as much as I absolutely saw the value in the karting slalom side of things and the competing, I wanted to make it more than that for the girls that came along. So for the top three that didn't come out of the 120 participants, I wanted them to all go away with something, whether that was feeling inspired, whether that was a takeaway from a competition, or whether maybe they were the top three. So we hired out the wing at Silverstone. So we were in the garages of the wing. The karting slalom was in the paddock, so where all the F1 trucks are during the Grand Prix weekend. And we worked with Renault F1 at the time. So they brought a full-size Renault car for the girls to do the challenge. We worked with one of their scientific partners, Perkin Elmer. So they did a debris finding activity. So they had little computers, and they had to try and find out after qualifying. There was debris, supposed debris in the filter, and they had to
find out
the investigation what it was. Then we had show cars of various different formulas and role models and F1 in schools. And it was basically the rotation. So that's how our events work, is the girls do a little bit of a lot to try and make sure that everyone can take something away. Everyone finds something that they love. It might not be sciencey based. It might be practical, like a pit stop. It might be just talking to someone. So the FIA came along for that event. I was super nervous because there's a lot of pressure on having someone very big come to the event. They seemed pleased. And before too long, I was told that actually we were joining forces with the FIA. Dare to Be Different was becoming Girls on Track UK. And that I was then going to be working for Motorsport UK to manage the new program. So I say new program, same program, different name. But actually what came with it, like I said, is that FIA credibility. And I think being part of the Motorsport UK, the governing body of motorsport, lots of contacts, lots of connections. And actually it did really, really good things for Motorsport UK, because obviously they are the governing body. They give out the licenses. They tell you off if you've done something wrong. They make sure that, you know, all of the events are marshalled and all the volunteers are in place. But they weren't doing a huge amount of the time to actually promote the sport to new audiences. So this Girls on Track program came in. Suddenly you're opening up a whole world of, this is motorsport. This is what motorsport is and can be for specifically for females. So lots of challenges, but it was great.
women's health is really, really important to us, and we think that balanced hormones really play a key role in that. One thing that we've been loving is the supplement Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth, and that's a company that's committed to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, science-backed herbal extracts that help the body adapt to stressors like hormone changes that can happen naturally throughout a woman's life. We love it because it helps us maintain optimal hormone levels and supports our mood and general well-being, especially in our crazy day-to-day times. There is a reason that Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTHEGIRLS for 15% off today. Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply.
And to your earlier point, I feel like so much of it is about sparking that interest or giving women confidence or just exposing them to the different things that are out there. And that can be sometimes hard to measure the impact of, especially because the interest can be so different. You know, someone's interested in science, someone's interested in marketing, someone's interested in something else. Yeah. How do you think about measuring that impact with the Girls on Track program? And any stories of that you can share would be amazing.
So, like I said, the school events, we really try and showcase the different types of roles, and we make sure that we have as many positive female role models there as possible. Yeah. So we did an event with Williams for International Women's Day back in March, and we must have had 20 female members of staff from all different areas, bringing along parts of the car, bringing along graphs of telemetry, showing them what they do for graphic design, and just bringing to life the fact that there are so many different job opportunities. With the community, which is our other side of the program, ever increasing and ever growing in terms of interest levels, in that when we have our community events, which we run a couple of times a year, which are networking opportunities fundamentally, but they're also those events to inspire, we always ask the girls when they come in what's their area of interest, and we give them a sticker, just because you probably know if you go to a networking event, you don't know anyone, who do I go and speak to that actually likes the same thing as me? So we'll have general, competing, media, and STEM. And for the last probably 2-3 events, we've given out more STEM stickers
than
any others, which is an amazing change in such a short space of time. And what's lovely about these events, and when you talk to the community members, is the girls, or young ladies really, you know, they are that sort of 16 to 24 is our biggest chunk of the community, say it's so nice to talk to motorsport. About motorsport to another girl. Like, none of my friends like motorsport. They don't like me talking about it. We talk about other things. So we don't talk about it. Whereas they come into these rooms full of women that all have the same passion. And you can just see that support and encouragement and imposter syndrome just kind of like dwindling, because they're there together. And, you know, they leave with such a buzz. And it's so great to be able to facilitate something like that.
Yeah. That's
only you could
so
bottle
incredible.
That up.
Yeah. And I think doing the podcast, we're very fortunate that, you know, we're three best friends and we love talking about motorsport, but a lot of our listeners have found a wonderful community in this because they feel heard and understood, and like, it's okay and cool and interesting and to like motorsport. And there's so many different
things to like about the sport. Like you were saying, like, it's not just the karting. It's so multifaceted. And I think, you know, every single one of those facets comes with different skill sets that you want to learn or be exposed to. But if you're kind of thinking about your program holistically, is there sort of one skill or a few skills that you're trying to embed across everyone, whether it's curiosity or wonder or whatever it might be that you're trying to instill throughout the program?
I would say one of the biggest ones is confidence. And it's really interesting because, you know, the school events, they're all female safe spaces. So the girls, yes, they're nervous and anxious when they come along in the morning. They're not really sure why they're there other than to be told to get on a bus, pack your lunch and sit down. You know, so we try and instill them with the confidence to try something new. And yes, we have tears quite regularly, especially if karting's involved or the pit stop's a little bit noisier than something they're used to. But we really support them and try and say, give it a go. You know, you never know. You might absolutely hate it, but you might absolutely love it at the same time. And particularly with the community, that confidence, that making them feel like they have a safe space. And it was really lovely yesterday because I went down to McLaren in Woking, where you went a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And you've probably heard of their 60 Scholars program, which they started last year. So this is the second year. And obviously it was open to absolutely anybody to apply that met the criteria. And we had, I think it was around 14, 15 of their 60 were girls and track members. So they invited us to come down to speak to those girls, to talk to them and find out what it was, you know, what have they taken away? Because it was their graduation from the 60 Scholars yesterday. What have they taken away from the 6-week program, which is absolutely incredible opportunity that everything they get to do. But also, how do you feel you've benefited from being a Girls in Track UK community member? Mm. And it was so lovely because we videoed about 8 different ladies talking about their take on it. And it was that feeling welcomed. It was knowing that I'm not on my own. It was trying to have confidence to apply for something. And I tell you what, and this, I will send you this after this so that you know I'm not kidding. I had an email last night. It must have been about 8 o'clock. And it was from one of our nurture group. So nurture group is a group of girls. Again, we've done with McLaren, 18 to 25 year olds that are all studying higher education of some sort. Doesn't have to be STEM focused. We've done interaction with them at the electric racing, down at Woking, and we're doing a webinar with them next month. But it was one of the girls from the nurture group, and she emailed me and she said, I just wanted to thank you so much for everything that you do with the Girls in Track community. She said, I know I've only had my second day here, and she's a second day graduate apprentice at McLaren, but I already love it. I already know this is where I want to be. This is where I need to be. And when we were down with the nurture group in Woking in June, she was one of the girls we interviewed. And I never realized this until we interviewed her. And she said, I applied for the 60 Scholars group last year. I didn't get in. I had some feedback to show that my application wasn't confident enough, wasn't showing that I had enough extras about me. So I've worked really hard, and through the confidence that I've got and exposure through the nurture group, I reapplied and I got a position.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh, that is absolutely amazing. And that was the email I had last night. And I do feel incredibly privileged and blessed to have this job that I have, because, you know, it isn't easy to get into motorsport. No one will ever tell you that it is. But if we can give those opportunities and open that door and share an email, Susie and Claudia did it for me 8 years ago. Yeah. So I want to be able to do that to others. And it's just so lovely to hear more of these stories that are coming through of young ladies going through the community, embracing those opportunities. You know, they worked very, very hard to get where they are.
Yeah.
And now they're where they never thought they could be, which is amazing. Totally.
That's what it's all about. I bet those emails just absolutely light up your entire week.
They absolutely do. No matter how much of a busy, entire day you've had, you get an email like that and you think, yes, that's why I do what I do. Yes,
exactly. So as we think about kind of the future landscape of women in motorsport, whether that's as drivers, engineers, marketing and comms, you name it, How do you see that evolving over the next several years, over the next decade, and what role do you hope that Girls on Track will be playing in that?
Well, I probably shouldn't say it, but in a way, I would like for me not to have a job doing what I'm doing, because we want it to be the norm. You know, 50-50 roughly gender split over the population, and 10% of females working in motorsport. And there is no reason why that should be the case. So I think everything that's going on now, the different programs, the F1 Academy, the history of the W Series, all these programs like 60 Scholars, and, you know, the teams and different people involved in motorsport realizing that actually, to get a high performing workplace, you need diversity.
Yeah.
You need including everyone that has different ways of thinking, different perspectives on life. Because if you always recruit the same people, you won't have that creativity and imagination to maybe gain an extra nanosecond in a race, or maybe gain that extra partnership because you are doing something to give back. So you need that diversity to make the sport more accessible and to make it more interesting for everyone to get involved. So I think it's only going to get bigger and better. I think there's never been a better time than now. EDI wasn't even a, you know, equality, diversity and inclusion. That wasn't a thing. Like, even when we started out as Dare to Be Different, it wasn't a word, and sustainability wasn't a brandished thing. It was happening, but it wasn't in the forefront. And I think it's just going to get stronger. And I just hope that, you know, we can increase the number of girls in the Girls on Track community, we can increase the support that we give them, and that we will have less of a problem issue and, you know, more amazing women working in roles that they are fully entitled and deserving of. So it's it's a really exciting time. And I don't want to see myself out of a job, but I want to see that change.
Yes.
I think that is the exact right sentiment. And we hope that the program lives on forever, but I think, you know, evolves with the hopes that the whole industry evolves as well. So I think to close out, I mean, you're such an incredible story of, you're like a living, walking piece of advice for women looking to get into motorsport in any way that they can. But we get a lot of questions from our listeners about just how to do it. So what advice would you give to someone, a woman or anyone who is passionate about the sport, but really unsure of how to get their foot in the door, how to pursue a career? Are there sort of any immediate next steps that you would advise someone to take?
I'd say join the community. And if you can post the link in your chat, that's a great one.
Yes.
And, you know, use LinkedIn. LinkedIn, I think, is one of the best, well, I don't know whether you call it social media platform, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the best things that has been created in the last few years, because it's made the professional space more approachable, more, mm-hmm. I can't think of the word, like, but you can get there. You can send a message on LinkedIn to a team principal of a Formula One team. Like, how on earth would you have meant to be able to do that before? I'm not suggesting that that's necessarily the first step to go into it, but it just allows you to know, to make connections with people that work in the sport, to see what those different job roles are. Also to see how they got there. What did they study at university? What was their first job? Because it's very unlikely it's going to be in Formula One. There are a couple of stories I know that went straight from uni to F1, which is great, but it's not the normal route.
Right.
So I'd say that LinkedIn is incredibly important, but what actually is coming from LinkedIn are the two words of networking and connecting.
Yeah.
The world of motorsport is very small, and you never know who you're talking to. Who you're talking to that might know someone, that might come up with an opportunity and think, oh, yes, I remember speaking to Georgie. I think she'd be great at this opportunity. And it can just spiral in a really positive way. So for me, networking is everything. And then the final thing is, and, you know, it's very easy to say, and we all experience it, but try not to let imposter syndrome hit you too hard. You know, keep that resilience, keep the persistence, because you're going to get knocked back. You're going to get no's. That is absolutely, it's life, isn't it? In everything you do, but it only takes one yes, and then you're in, and then you can fly.
That's so beautifully said. And what a great note to end on. Jenny, thank you so much for the time. This has been so inspiring to us, and I'm sure to so many of our listeners. We're so impressed with everything you're doing with Girls on Track and cannot wait to continue.
Thank you.
To
I really appreciate you giving me the time to talk about my story, because I would not put myself in an inspirational story setting at all. I'm just doing
but that's that imposter syndrome.
Yes, there it is.
There you go. Jenny, thank you so much.
No, thank you so much, ladies, and I really hope that your platform goes from strength to strength.